I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
College football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Online at 929thegame.com. And on the radio.com app, wherever you may be. Glad to have you hanging out with us this morning. You can find us at 929 The Game. You can find the show at 929 CFB Game Time. John Chuckery at JMCH316. Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find me at ChrisGoforth1 as we head into our second hour here. Our first show of the new decade. Guys, the top five college football moments of the decade. John Chuckery, I'm going to let you go first with this, but I've got a couple of honorable mentions, but I'll save those. I'll let you go ahead and lead us off.
One at a time or my five?
Yeah, just go ahead and run through all five of them.
All right, 1-1-13, Clowney's hit against Michigan. Ooh, in the Outback Bowl.
My goodness.
10-17-15.
He's giving dates,
right? Yeah, I ain't giving no damn dates. If you don't remember my moment, it's tough.
The Michigan State blocked punt against
That was such a great play.
With no time left on the clock, and Michigan State pulls out the
victory. That's when you punch the damn kicker in the face. Mm-hmm. Catch the ball.
11-30-13. Kick six.
Yeah.
Kick six.
That's one of mine right there.
1-1-18, Randy. Double overtime. Sony Michel on the direct snap and comes around end and scores the touchdown to beat Oklahoma.
That's
and my number one moment of the decade, without question, 12-22-15. Akron wins the famous Idaho Potato Bowl over
serious?
Utah State. First bowl win, first eight-win season ever for Akron.
Maybe
as the football program comes back to prominence after some down years, they come back and win the Idaho Potato Bowl. On December 22nd, 2015, over Utah State.
Great job.
Number one moment of the decade.
Well, I don't have them numbered. I do have the kick six, the Auburn game against Alabama, which was just unbelievable play. What a play. I had Cam Newton's game against Alabama when he brought them back. His Heisman went, and they won the national championship that year. Jameis to Travis Benjamin in the national championship game with under a minute left.
That's a good one.
Of course, Deshaun Watson's touchdown pass to give Clemson their championship. And when Tua came off the bench, it beat Georgia. I mean, that was just – dude comes off the bench and, you know, wins the damn national championship.
I wonder if Chris is going to have the prayer in Jordan Hare.
No, that was one of the ones that I considered, though. I did, because that
prayer
was such
Hare. What's the prayer in Jordan Hare?
The pass that Auburn catches against Georgia to win.
Damn. Now, I do have a couple
Jordan
of
them, man.
And then, you know what made me so mad about that play was it was that knucklehead safety that
– Yep.
Yep, that end up going to Auburn.
Yep.
Dude, I mean, Trey, what's his name? Damn knucklehead. But, yeah, I mean, that was great. I mean, you're just sitting there like.
Did that really happen?
I'll never forget. We had, like, because this is one of the rare times I ever go out to watch any sporting event. I would stay home and watch Georgia. We had a big party at the Twin Peaks over here in Buckhead. We had the whole top floor. It was 50 Georgia fans up there. And it was three Auburn fans sitting over in the damn corner.
I wasn't invited to that one.
Well, I didn't know you then.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't work here. And so,
you sure?
Yeah. It was like three Auburn fans sitting in the corner, and like so, when Aaron Murray scores a touchdown, we're all jumping up and down, and then that happens, and those three people right there—I mean, the funniest thing were they were louder than all 50 of us, dude. That was unbelievable.
Georgia did such a great job of getting back in that game, and then
way back in that game,
and that play is just like. Did that really happen?
Yeah. We fought our way back in that game, and then for that to happen, yeah, that was rough.
Is that it? Is that your five?
I got six of them. Go ahead.
All right. I had a couple of honorable mentions, a few that just didn't make the cut. One is a naked Jim McElwain on that shark.
That's him.
Wow.
That is him.
Man.
I don't care what nobody say. That's him with that butt naked
and
cuddling
by the way,
the shark.
His college career has never recovered from humping a shark.
No.
Dude.
No.
That's him. Without a doubt.
That should be like rule number one in PR class.
Yeah.
Don't hump sharks.
Yeah.
If you do, have some clothes on.
Yeah. Or at least don't have pictures taken of you. At least don't have pictures taken of you with it.
Manti Te'o and his girlfriend.
Wow.
Why was I still don't understand why that was as big a story as it was.
That's just bizarre.
I mean, but still, that's his fault, man. You know, you can tell.
Did they get any money out of him?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think so.
It was just a PR hit of he got catfished.
And the other, my last honorable mention, the Honey Badger.
Oh, yeah.
Just that whole, you remember how that guy, that whole, the Honey Badger thing with John Chavis there as the defensive coordinator.
Well,
at LSU,
going into the SEC championship game against Georgia, you know what I mean?
And kind of became the story in college football there for a while. My top five college football moments of the decade. Number one, I didn't order these necessarily, but if I had to pick one, it would not be Akron, John.
It wasn't Akron.
It would be Harvey Updike poisoning the trees in Toomer's Corner.
That dumb son of a and it's so funny that he don't realize what he did.
No, he was proud of it.
He's proud of it.
He called Paul Feinbaum right after it and said,
Al from Dadeville.
Listen, I don't care what anybody says, and I'll be the a-hole. That's the greatest clip of all time when he goes, roll damn tide.
Afterwards?
That's the greatest soundbite of all time, ever. But that's Terry wants more audio on the station. We should play that.
I don't understand that part. I'm like, I understand you love that school, really, but you're going to go to jail for Alabama? Did Alabama put up any money for you to get your ass out of prison? None.
No.
But yet you do.
Those pictures of him walking around with the elephant hat on and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. And then he was just on this year with them. I guess he ain't paid back all the money.
He's paid like $500.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, come on, man.
The kick six, obviously, that's one. I mean, I ended up – by the time he crossed the goal line, was it Chris Davis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scored that touchdown. By the time he crossed the goal line, I ended up standing on top of my mother-in-law's coffee table.
Really?
Because I come up off the couch as that happened and ended up on top of the coffee table.
My memory of it is just when you're watching it, you're like, is this really a play? Is that really legal? Yeah, like I'm trying to think, like, is he just doing this? You know, has the whistle blown?
Right.
And just that scene when that happened is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was great. I remember because it was our son's, the baby boy, it was his christening. He was getting christened the next day, baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Tequila Spikes is his godfather. So I just remember Tequila being at church, like, after that game. And we're, like, trying to, could the godparents please stand up? And he's, like, knocked out in the front pew. That's how late it was when he got back. But, no, that was, I mean, that. But I'm with you. You see it, and you're like, because my whole thing, I was like, okay. What is the one thing that Nick Saban has not been able to get since he's been out of
a kicker?
A damn kick. So why is he taking this kick with this kid? That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, Nick, don't do it. And then you see the ball fall. I'm like, hold on. They got a returner back there. Huh. Oh, look, he's coming out. Oh, dude, unbelievable.
And they broke that play down like seven ways on Sunday. This lineman shouldn't have been here and all that. Like, it was like the Zapruder film about how Alabama didn't get their guys back or whatever.
As a player who's been on the field goal team, and that happens, that's the worst feeling in the world. When you're like, because the first thing you got to do, if you're going along, hey, don't forget to cover guys. Now, note, you got maybe two, you probably got two guys, a tight end that can run. The rest of linemen, the rest of fat linemen that are not used to covering kicks like that.
But I mean, has there ever been another play like that in college football? A guy fielding a field goal miss to run it back? I don't.
Well, you remember Cromartie did it for the Chargers against the Bears.
Yes.
Yeah, against the Bears. I mean, it's happened a couple times.
Well, didn't Devin Hester do that in the NFL,
Hester
too?
Devin Hester did it. But I'm talking about
in college football, I don't know that I've ever seen that play executed, that a guy caught a field goal and ran it back for a touchdown. Maybe there has been. I'd have to ask Fricky, I don't, you know, he probably handed Lou Holtz a trophy for it, so I don't know.
My other one is one that, and I look, there's not a specific moment. You could go with the Alabama game if you wanted to, but just Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M.
Really good.
You know, Manziel scoring the touchdown, the money sign that he would make with his hands when he came into the end zone. I mean, you either loved him or you hated him. Nobody was meh. Towards Johnny Manziel. You were on one side of that fence or the other. My other two involved Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, and unfortunately both of them came against Georgia. Jalen Hurts coming off the bench, replacing Tua in the fourth quarter.
Don't let him
of
go
the
right.
2018 SEC championship game.
Don't let him go right. Don't let him go right.
And then, of course, it was Tua with a touchdown in the national championship game to beat Georgia.
Why are you such an Alabama homer, Chris?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, that it's hard. You can't talk about college football. And I realize my list is skewed heavily towards the SEC, but you can't talk about college football the last decade and not talk about what Alabama did.
What about
and
the,
how they won?
What about the Rose Bowl between when USC when Sam Darnold was there?
Yeah, Penn State.
Penn State. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That was a shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That what was it you know some of the moments that you had, what was it 3 years ago when Baylor and Texas Christian were both in the top 10 and they went 61-59?
Yeah. How about last year the Texas A&M UCLA 7 overtime game? That was another one that almost made my honorable mention list, along with that Rose Bowl that you guys mentioned
Akron.
Of Georgia and Oklahoma. And no, John, Akron was nowhere to be found on
this
list.
Why am I the only one that had an Akron moment down there?
Yeah. They scored 15 touchdowns this year. Joe Burrow scored 7.5.
Yeah. They went an entire month without a touchdown. Think about that. They went an entire month in October and didn't score a touchdown, Chris.
But yet you keep talking about
it. They scored as many touchdowns as I did.
But yet you keep talking about
it. Brian just gave me another one. How about Baker Mayfield planting the flag?
Ooh, yeah.
That was a good one.
That's a good moment, too.
Yeah.
That dude. That was pretty good. I like that. I didn't have a problem with it, but everybody else.
I didn't either. Yeah. Everybody got in their feelings. It is amazing how many SEC moments there are, though. You know, like I even brought up like the Clowney hit and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, how many moments
they played that on a loop, dude.
And you know, in Sports Illustrated, when you open it up, first couple of pages, they always have the great photographs.
Right.
In that week's issue of Sports Illustrated, when you opened it, that was the picture that was taken with the guy's helmet.
But that's like the defining hit of college football. You know what I mean? Like they don't put together anymore. Remember the NFL used to do the VHS tapes of the greatest hits in the NFL and all that kind of stuff.
I have a bunch of those. I love those things.
But I mean, like, that's the defining hit in college football is what Clowney did.
John Chuckery's world famous buy or sell segment.
Coming your way next. Wins a game. We're not starting yet. Okay.
It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back to the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, college football game time. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery. At that point of the show where we grab I do this just now to aggravate Randy McMichael with all of it. It is time for the unsponsored, unpromoted, unloved buy or sell. 10 questions for the guys in the world of college football.
Randy and I love it, John.
No, Randy, don't
sell yourself. No, I don't.
He's telling the truth.
No, he doesn't. And I do it now just to aggravate him. So let's start with Randy Mack. Randy Mack, UNC as the coastal favorite for 2020. UNC as the coastal favorite for 2020.
I don't see why they're not. I'm trying to. Why do you. What's this?
Sam Howell had that hell of a year. We talked about that last week.
I mean, he's going to be a good player.
They got the record for touchdowns.
But see, that's the thing about it is that when we think, that's when they're not.
Yeah.
You know, when we think, that's when they're not.
Bryce Perkins moves on from Virginia.
I think they should be the favorite. Because you don't know Virginia Tech's here.
Who else do you trust in that division?
Virginia Tech here and miss, right?
Yeah.
Georgia Tech, we know. I mean, they're going to be better.
Miami?
I don't trust Miami.
Duke?
I don't trust Duke.
Virginia?
No. I think you might be right. I'm going to buy that.
Chris Goforth, UNC as the coastal favorite in 2020, buy or sell?
I'll buy it by default.
I can't come up with anybody.
I mean, that's what that division is.
I mean, they got the best quarterback.
You know what's funny? But you just said that, Randy. That division seems like whatever team brings back the best quarterback is like the favorite.
They have the best quarterback.
Yeah. And I mean, Virginia did that this year with Bryce Perkins. I mean, that's kind of how that division rolls. Is if somebody's got a really good quarterback coming back, that's the best team to win. I'll buy it, too. I think they're the favorite. Chris Goforth, Notre Dame will not be lower than 7th in the preseason 2020 polls. Notre Dame, with Ian Book announcing, and Randy's got Comets going to the NFL now. Notre Dame, though, with Ian Book coming back, not lower than 7th in the preseason 2020 poll.
They're definitely top 10. I'll buy that at somewhere around 6 or 7.
I think they're going to be poised to make another playoff run next year.
And everybody be all mad again.
Yep. Randy McMichael, Notre Dame not lower than 7th in the preseason 2020 poll.
We're Ian Book coming back, I'll buy it.
Yeah, I agree. They still have a lot coming back, too, around him as well. Randy McMichael, if Sam Ellinger returns to Texas.
I thought he's a senior.
No, he can still come back.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
I wonder why I thought he was a senior.
If Sam Ellinger returns to Texas, he would be a preseason top five Heisman candidate. Buy or sell?
I'll buy it because I think he'll be a preseason one of the top five quarterbacks in the country. So, I mean, of course, you got to operate what's around him, but, yeah, I'll buy that.
Chris, go for it. Sam Ellinger comes back. He's a preseason top five Heisman candidate.
Boy, I'd like to have some time to sit down and try to make a list of who I think will be on that list next year to see if I could come up with five guys.
Two quarterbacks just played in that are going to be maybe one and two that just played in one of the semifinal games.
Right.
That's two guys right there.
Nope,
he's got another year if he wants to come back.
He's been on them dudes that been there for. I thought he was a senior.
He's a junior.
I thought he was a senior.
Yeah.
Still hasn't made his mind up about whether or not he's coming back.
Oh, he's coming back.
I would think. Tom Herman says he thinks he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I'll buy it, but I don't expect him to be in New York at the end of the season next year.
I think he'll be one of the top quarterbacks.
I'll buy the hype.
Yeah.
I'll buy the hype going into 2020 about him.
Chris Goforth, the Big Ten was deeper top to bottom than the SEC this year in quality teams.
Ooh.
Buy or sell? The Big Ten was deeper in quality teams this year than the SEC. Buy or sell? You had 5 10-plus win teams in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, you had Ohio State. You had Michigan getting beat by Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Penn State. And then obviously in the Big Ten, you had 3 Big Ten West teams that finished with over 10 wins.
If you would have asked me this a month ago or even 6 weeks ago, I would have definitely have said yes and bought that. Now I think I'll sell it. After I've had a chance to go through and see the bowl games, I feel differently about Big Ten versus SEC now.
Randy McMichael, sell. The Big Ten was deeper than the SEC in quality
I'll
teams.
Sell it. I'll sell it for the exact same thing he said. I mean, I just look at the bowl matchups, which is it's too – you can look at it either way. Did they want to play or whatever? Right? What team was up for more? I just look at – when you look at the SEC, we got LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. Who else should I put there? That's four. They got five, but Minnesota, they did beat Auburn. Alabama beat Michigan. So, I'll just sell it because I want to.
Yeah.
To make somebody mad.
Yeah, because you guys are SEC homers. So.
I'm not an SEC. I'm a Georgia homer.
404-741-0929. You can text us all of that. Randy McMichael, Trevor Lawrence as the number one preseason Heisman favorite.
Bye.
I think the winner of that semifinal game went into the season as the preseason Heisman favorite between Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I agree
Chris,
with that.
Go forth. Trevor Lawrence, as the preseason number one Heisman favorite by herself.
Yeah, I'll buy it. I think Clemson will be the number one team in the country, and I think Trevor Lawrence will be the Heisman Trophy favorite.
I think win or lose, Clemson's number one. Now.
Agreed.
I agree.
I think win or lose, they're number one, and Lawrence is the number one favorite to win the Heisman.
I agree.
That run is going to be forever ingrained in college football loredom out there. Chris Goforth. Southern Cal as the Pac-12 South preseason favorite. Buy or sell? Southern Cal as the Pac-12 South preseason favorite. Of course, the Fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis. Why are you shaking your head at
that? No, because I'm thinking about the pressure. I don't care about you. You being a stalker.
Southern Cal is the preseason.
It's either going to be Southern Cal or Utah, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what Utah has coming back. It's got to be one of those two. I know Keaton Slovis will be there, so yep. I'll buy Southern Cal.
Randy McMichael, Southern Cal is the preseason Pac-12. Sorry, is the Pac-12 South preseason favorite? Buy or sell?
I will sell that. I'll buy it, but they won't be at the end.
Don't sleep on Herm.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm about to say.
Don't
that's
sleep
exactly
on Herm.
What I was about to say.
Yep.
Coach Herman will probably be the South champion. They got a damn good quarterback.
Is UCLA gonna be better?
No.
Yeah. Sounded good though. Huh?
Yeah, it did. But because they're a privately funded university.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
what
it is. Yeah.
Randy McMichael. Clemson will lose an ACC game next year. Clemson will lose an ACC game next year. Buy or sell?
Sell? No. SEC ain't getting no better. But they're going to have, you know.
You know, they've stumbled again. You know,
they stumble one game
a year.
You
know who their last three losses are in the ACC?
Pitt.
Tech. And who was the other one?
Was it Syracuse?
Syracuse, yeah. Yes. That's their last three ACC losses. How's that possible? Not Florida State, Miami, or anything like that. Lamar and Louisville. It's Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Syracuse. It was the last three ACC games that they've lost. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
Chris Goforth, buy or sell. Clemson will lose an ACC game next year.
Yeah, I'll sell that.
It's hard. I mean, why would you bet against to beat Clemson?
It would not surprise me if we're not sitting here this time a year from now talking about a 43-game winning streak for Clemson. I mean, really.
Chris Goforth, let's talk about Sam Ellinger again. If he's back, Texas is the preseason Big 12 favorite. Buy or sell? If Sam Ellinger is back, Texas is the preseason Big 12 favorite, not Oklahoma.
If I'll sell that if Lincoln Riley stays at Oklahoma.
Randy McMichael, if Sam Ellinger is back, Texas will be the preseason Big 12 favorite, not Oklahoma.
I'll sell that. I think Oklahoma, I think Spencer Rattler or whoever the kid who did the corny horns down at the signing, they'll be all right.
Texas, Rattler's going to be the guy. Unless he goes out and gets another transfer, I think Rattler's going to be the guy.
Why does everybody want to put Derek King there?
At Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Because
it fits.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It fits. Skill sets, it fits.
Don't you think the media at this point, everybody's looking for somebody but Oklahoma to win the Big 12?
Definitely. And it's Texas.
Listen, truthfully, I don't think they would care if it was Texas Tech. I think people are just getting tired of Oklahoma and all that. So, all right, couple last questions that relate to Georgia, Randy McMichael. Jake Fromm is a top four UGA quarterback of all time. Jake Fromm is a top four UGA quarterback of all time. Buy or sell?
I'll buy it. I mean, you look at his record. You look at what he's done. He took you to a national championship.
Yep. Whether he stays or goes,
I think
right now, Jake Fromm is one of the top four quarterbacks in Georgia.
I'll buy it.
Chris Goforth, buy or sell? Right now, Jake Fromm is one of the top four UGA quarterbacks of all time.
I got him third, Randy, behind Murray and Green.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I'm wrong. I'm not. I mean, you know, some people throw Zaire in there.
Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford.
That's your five.
Matt
right
Stafford
there.
is the most talented of them all, but I don't think he's a top five Georgia quarterback.
Again,
I don't
think he's got the name value.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm going to say a different guy. He's got the name value. I never saw, obviously, a Donovan play, but obviously Fran Tarkenton played in Georgia as well.
Yes.
So,
I would put Fran in my top five because I think as overall talent, Matt Stafford's number one. Right. I'm just talking about as far as Georgia quarterback, I would go Greeny. I'll go Aaron Murray, Fromme, Fran Tarkenton, Eric Zier.
Not one for 12 for 7 yards?
No.
Oh. He's in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. Finally, Chris Goforth. DeAndre Swift is a top 7 running back all time at the University of Georgia.
Oh, my gosh.
DeAndre Swift as a top 7 running back all time.
Man, if he is, I'm going to sell that. If he is, he's number 7.
Yeah. Because you got Chris Herschel.
He is 7th all-time in rushing yards at the school with 2,885 yards.
Okay, so now I go, of course, Herschel, Chubb, Todd, Sony, Garrison.
No Sean. Rodney.
Rodney.
Good Lord.
Robert Edwards.
Tim Worley.
Yeah. You got a lot. Yeah.
I put him in the top 10.
Do you know who's 6th all-time at Georgia in rushing the football?
Musa?
Mm-mm.
Who?
Lars Tate.
Really?
From the 80s.
Did not know that.
That's another good one.
He came after, a couple years after Herschel, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was mid-80s.
Yeah.
85.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep. And that's buy or sell?
Well.
That's a good one. That last one with DeAndre.
He's that borderline.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, he's only... he's 15th all time in rushing touchdowns, Randy.
Really?
DeAndre is.
Who's second?
Nick.
Nick Chubby second?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's only 5 behind Herschel.
That's it?
Yeah. He had 44 to Herschel's 49. Gurley's third at 36. Lars Tate tied with Gurley at 36. Lars Tate is sixth all-time rushing, fourth all-time in touchdowns, Chris.
We'll get to our max of the week and a lot more. College football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. Time for our max of the week. Randy, as is tradition, how about you lead us off?
I think the obvious one, you know, the two quarterbacks that played in the Fiesta Bowl last week. So, I mean, sorry, both quarterbacks that played. I thought Justin Field played pretty good himself. But of course, Joe Burrow has to be number one. I mean, you don't do what you did. Seven touchdowns and a half. I mean, that's still Oklahoma. I know that it wasn't much of a competition or whatever, but it's still Oklahoma, and that's still a playoff game, and he was phenomenal in that game. Of course, George Pickens, the way he played in the Sugar Bowl, I just thought, you know, if they throw the ball to you that many times, you're going to have 12 receptions. So,
right.
So that I just look at it as that way. And definitely Trevor Lawrence, again, they went with the mindset that they were going to run him this game. It wasn't the scrambles. It wasn't that he was being chased. It was the fact that they were going to run him, and he impressed me. I didn't know he could move like that. That touchdown run, like you said, John Chuckery, they'll be talking about that long after he's gone.
And we talked about this with Don, about the fact that, you know, running the football had become, you know, he ran for almost 500 yards before that game. You know, he had almost 500 yards rushing. And you say, well, you know, you don't think – if I had told you, hey, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to run for 500 yards this year, you'd have been like, huh? He's going to be halfway to 1,000 yards this year?
Right.
Trevor
right.
Lawrence? But he is. And, you know, people talked about, you know, he could do things like that in high school and things like that. And Don talked about that was a point of emphasis for him in the offseason, get bigger, get stronger, you know. And I think that's – Randy, I mean, you can comment on this, that you know, you probably don't, you know, last year obviously as a freshman, and, mm-hmm. and you physically aren't there yet, mm-hmm. and you're learning and all that kind of stuff. You know, all the tricks don't come out of the bag, you know, and that's what going into next year.
What's the next evolution?
It's one thing to get these kids in here early like they are now. You have early time, but it's after this year when you get that real hard training table, you're in the weight room, you're doing the program, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're coming in as this freshman in the, you know, this window that we're in right now, you're still green. You don't know no better. You're still a baby. You're just on campus now, working out with the team. But until you go through that season and you get that training table and you get that off-season conditioning, you get to start growing and start filling out. And, again, he can get bigger. That's the thing with Trevor Lawrence is he can put more weight and more muscle to his frame.
Get your man body.
I saw him earlier this they were doing a feature on him. And you saw – I mean, on the TV, you could look at him like, damn, Trevor's done got a little bigger from last year. And he's just going to keep doing that, keep adding to his man body.
Well, they get three meals a day now.
Yeah, man.
With their sweatpants.
Yeah. It's college football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Max of the week. Randy, I agree with you. Joe Burrow has got to be 29, 39, 493, seven touchdowns. I mean, just ridiculous.
He missed 10 throws?
He didn't feel like it.
He didn't feel like it.
Also, Lynn Bowden at Kentucky, 233 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Wide receiver goes to quarterback and leads Kentucky to a bowl victory against Bud Foster's Virginia Tech defense. He was their offense.
But the crazy thing about it, he ran so much, but he threw the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. Only six passes. Only attempted six passes, but the last one.
Completed.
Only completed six passes.
He's on my list, too, so I got stats, too. Yep.
But 233 yards rushing, couple of touchdowns. Throws the game-winning touchdown pass. Unbelievable. And also, my Mac of the week, Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. They won seven out of their last eight, made a comeback against Indiana. First fourth quarter rally for them, for Jeremy Pruitt as a head coach. Given the way this season started, to finish with eight wins and a bowl victory over Indiana, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I was all SEC, and I'll piggyback off Chris. First, Randy, I'm with you. I had George Pickens in the 12 catches, 175 yards. And look, the reality is that Georgia had so many missing components and parts, you know, on that team. When you talk about Pickens, it was the fact that, okay, this is what George is going to have a lot of look about next year. Like this is a next year type of look. And you see where he fits into that scheme and that look, Chris, about, okay, here's our feature guy, you know, going into next year. Fromm comes back, and obviously it's Zamir White and all that, but here's one of our feature guys, and I thought he was outside. And by the way, and I said, Baylor's a pretty damn good team.
They're
not great. I'm not saying a national title, they deserve to be a player. They're a pretty damn good football team, though. Matt Rhule's a really good coach, and they're a hard-nosed, tough team. They had the player of the year defensively in the Big 12 on that squad, so that was a very good win. That would have been a very easy game for Georgia to say, let's just get through the year and not get
this
hurt.
This is the thing, and I think you can attest how, because like I said, I watched the whole game. I watched the celebration and all that, and you can tell that those kids wanted to be there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can just look at the feel, the vibe of Kirby coaching and all that. You felt that. And just like you just said, a lot of those guys are going to be the main components
to
your team.
That's who's going to take you into next season. Yeah. I'm with you, Chris. I had Bowden as well. 6 for 12, only 73 yards. Had the touchdown, one interception, but 34 carries for 233 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. And, I mean, you talk about, like, a one-man gang.
Final drive before he threw the game-winning touchdown pass, it was like 12 carries, 81 yards on the final drive.
Yeah, I mean, it was absurd what he did. And, Chris, I'm with you with Tennessee. 15 points in the last 5 minutes. By the way, Indiana had a really nice year. I think that gets kind of lost. They were trying to win, I think, 9 games for like the first time since like the 80s, maybe like the Anthony Thompson years or whatever.
Trying to win a bowl game for the first time since 1991.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
They were, you know, they'd actually had a pretty good year, Indiana. But, you know, and I joke with you guys on the bullpen, after LSU, the team that has the longest winning streak going right now in the SEC is Tennessee. They've won 6 in a row.
I just remember when they, you know, when they lost to Georgia State, which is a great win for that program. I'm talking about Georgia State, and then they lose to BYU. We were all here like, do they got the right guy?
Could Purdue even get through the year?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, could they get through? And then you had the bonehead play by the quarterback where he's gonna take the play on his own. And you're like, oh, it's over. But for them, for this team to play the way they played and rally the way they did, you gotta give Prude a lot of props because he cleared out that locker room with some of them, some of them cancers in that locker room, man.
And it's funny too, Randy, because and Chris, boy, there's some times when you watch Guarin Tarnell throw the football and you're like, what is he doing? What
Is he a starting quarterback?
That interception, that was that pick six or whatever that he threw? I mean, what was that?
Well, I think there's some question as to whether or not he's there come August.
I don't think he's going to be there.
That maybe he's in the transfer portal and he's going someplace
else. He's one of them kids that Jerome Pruitt just got to go to and say, hey, you know what? You no longer welcome. We're going to go in a new direction or something like that. He can't come back. That just won't work. It won't work.
Anything else, John?
No, that's my three. I went all SEC. I mean, Tennessee to be 8-5. I mean, that's
a big-time deal.
Look, year two under Jeremy Pruitt, this is where they should have been. You know, 8-5 is probably about right from where they're coming from. Year two, new coach, new system, offense, defense, everything. This is probably where they should be. The question for them now is, can they take that next step?
Right.
And can they win 9 next year? You're not beating Georgia. You're not going to beat Bama. You're not going to beat Florida. I don't know what the rest of the schedule looks like. You're not going to beat those 3. But can you win the rest?
They were still 0-3. They were still 0-3 against the top 25 this year. So it's not like that they had a lot of great wins. I'm going to pull it up real quick here for you.
That bowl game win is probably their best win of the year, honestly.
They have Charlotte. They have to go to this, let's see, what is this, Norman, Oklahoma. Who plays there?
Oh, yeah. That's not going to be pretty.
They got Furman. They get Florida at home, Missouri at home. They get Alabama at home. They will go to Georgia, to South Carolina, to Arkansas. Troy, another non-conference game. But how about that? They, you know, listen, give them credit. They play Oklahoma, but Charlotte, Furman, and Troy. And then they'll be at Vanderbilt to end the year on November 28th. They play Troy, by the way, in between Georgia and Vanderbilt.
Oklahoma's
the second game of the year.
If you can go 8-4 in the regular season and get that 9th win in a bowl game, there you go. There you go. By the way, before the bowl game started, we, through the use of secret ballots, we picked all the bowl games. So with 38 bowl games in the books and 1 left to go, here are the way things stand.
Two
Two games. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, if you got the national championship game, and then the Raging Cajuns have to play.
How could I forget? How could I forget?
Southern missing Tulane, too. Okay, I forgot about that.
So through 38 bowl games so far, John Chuckery's in the lead, 25-13. I'm a game back at 24-14. Randy, four games back of the lead at 21-17.
Okay.
Three of us.
That's because Randy only called one bowl game this year. So
yeah.
That's what it was. Three of us had LSU and all three of us, rather, had LSU and Clemson in the championship game. All three of us picked Boise State, by the way, who was blown out by Washington in the Las Vegas Bowl. Brutal.
Are you glad you didn't call the Birmingham Bowl this year? Did you see
God,
that game?
Oh, my God, that 90-minute delay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, you know I would have gone, hey, man, I'm out.
Yeah, you'd have been like at the liquor store.
Hey, I'm out.
Whatever package store was right around that stadium.
You know, I'd have been like, all right, man, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All three of us had Utah beating Texas.
Oh.
Dude.
And all three of us had Arizona State beating Florida State.
I mean, fight Herms.
Did we all have Clemson?
Yes.
I think we all three had Clemson, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, LSU, I knew. I mean, we all knew LSU, but I thought we all three had Clemson as well. So Who did I pick for the national? Did I pick Clemson or LSU for the national title?
Do you know, Brian? Do you know offhand who John picked?
Who's the national title picks?
You and I both took LSU.
Okay.
And I guess Randy took Clemson. Oh, you got nothing from Randy. Wow.
Yeah.
Randy not cooperating.
I didn't want to put it down. No, I didn't want to put it down because I didn't feel like it. But
he's full-time media member
but
now.
He
doesn't want to tip his hand because he's a media guy now.
I'll vote when I damn well feel like it.
I'll vote when I want to. I ain't thought about that. I can't think that far ahead yet. So.
That's what media guys do now, Chris, is that they don't have to like stand on one side of the fence or that they can just kind of like straddle it. Yeah, they can just kind of
straddle it.
That's what's going on.
I know, you're a media guy.
Y'all can have like media guy crap. I mean, that's right.
You want to go to Flowery Branch?
Nope.
You never were up there.
I didn't say it was never up there.
Okay, so you're up there.
It's college football game time.
I was up there
time.
Because it was required.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get to our top more of from the last decade. We'll give you our top five teams.
Yeah, because you're not important.
And our top five players from the decades. College football game time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.